Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. Happy New Year. Welcome to Tuesday Night Jaw on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Jim Smallman, and my guests, who I will introduce in a minute, but you've probably guessed who they are by now, because this is has the familiar sound of something that's recorded in a front room in Manchester. So anyway, today's show is the 2017 Tuesday Night Jaw Awards, voted for by you, not by us. We didn't get a vote. I've taken this all off of your votes, which I spent 8 hours calculating last night using my emails and an Excel spreadsheet. I didn't get a chance to build a VLOOKUP. I was very annoyed. I love a VLOOKUP. What's your favourite Excel formula? Tweet at Jim Smallman, hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw. Don't do that. Save that. We're going to have a pun game in a minute. Anyway, some plugs. Some plugs. I've had caffeine. Some plugs, first of all. Check out everything on the Distraction Pieces Network, especially the drunk cast that we all did, which is ludicrous. Genuinely ludicrous. I wasn't drunk, but Jimmy Havoc was my stunt drinker. Point people at this podcast, so rate, review, subscribe to it wherever you get podcasts from. Point people at jimsmallman.com/TNJ. Buy one of my last few Tuesday Night Jaw t-shirts that I have remaining from that link as well. You can see all the episodes listed there, all the various different ways to download it, whether it's through Apple or whatever you choose to get your podcasts through. And progresswrestling.com for loads of merch and tickets and stuff. And demand-progress.com for all of our shows, including probably by this weekend, unboxing. Warning now, there will be spoilers for unboxing. If you've somehow managed to avoid spoilers up until this point, warning, there will be spoilers in this podcast. So wait until the show's up if you don't want it spoiled. Okay, good. Right, guests who were both at unboxing, as one of whom was working, one of whom was stood behind me for most of the show. Let's do him first. Christopher Brooker. It's not Steve Wright in the fucking mate.
But the other thing is, unless the thing with applause, as we've all appreciated at some point in our life, mass applause is great. Solo applause is at best sarcastic and at worst threatening.
I've taught quite a lot of kids' gigs the sarcastic last clap.
Oh, God.
Because I used to be a school teacher and I want to ruin a lot of teachers' lives.
You're a monster.
I am a monster.
You're the JBL of teaching, aren't you? People put you through this, and now you're putting other people through it. You're going to be going to NUS, NUT conferences and dragging people out of hotel rooms to drink in the bar now, aren't you?
Maybe. No drinking in the bar, probably just go get some falafel.
Monster!
Christopher!
It's not even food.
Happy New Year to you, Christopher.
Happy New Year, James.
Jims. Hello, Jims.
I'm just South African. Happy New Year, Jims. You're the JBL.
Did you have a good...
Jibble of teaching.
Did you have a good festive season?
I had a wonderful festive season.
Good.
My highlight of my festive season was a video chat with my young nephew, Josh.
Nice.
Who, because I'm wacky, and if you look over in the corner of the room, you can see a slightly spazzy-looking dinosaur that I found in a skip whilst out flowering once and saved. He's got jazz hands. So it's maybe it's the Glenosaurus.
It is Glenosaurus.
That's what we've got here.
Glenosaurus Rex.
Yeah. The king of the musical lizards. But because I'm wacky, and I'm the wacky uncle, I brought him in the sides if I was being attacked by a dinosaur. You know, that's how they get you from the side.
Yep.
And Josh went, "Oh, it's a dinosaur!" And he went, "Oh, it's not a real one."
Ah, that is a shame.
I don't know what his parents are teaching him.
There is the only real dinosaur that remains on Earth is a lizard that lives in New Zealand, isn't it?
I thought you were going to say Barbara Windsor. Hey?
Well, no, I'm sure David Icke will tell us what lizards...
You leave that national treasure alone, Matthew.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm sure David Icke's got something to do with dinosaur-lizard hybrids. It's the Tuatara, I think, that lives in New Zealand that has existed since the dinosaur days and is still alive now. Boom, facts on Tuesday Night Jaw. there's not going to be many today.
Are we leading into 2018 with a whiff of edutainment about us?
No, never. Never.
Why do you hate teaching so much?
you should have seen me trying to do it.
That's a podcast on its own, isn't it?
Mate, I was so bad at teaching. I'll tell this story on stage. What I used to do, so I taught English, and if you go to school in Leicestershire, like only a few counties in the country are like this. So you guys probably went to a school between 11 and 16.
Yeah.
So in Leicestershire, you go to a school between 11 and 14, and then not so much now.
Oh, no,
but at
I
the
went
time,
a three school, t- three yeah. tier school. Yeah, I went
yeah.
to a middle
and then
school,
you go
and
to
a,
school. And then you go to a high school between 14 and 16, and maybe stay and do your A levels there. Now, so I was teaching 14, 15, 16 year old kids English, and I also had a creative writing class that I taught A level students, except they were terrible. So what I used to do was I'd get their terrible collections of creative writing and I'd just read them out in the staff room to entertain the other teachers.
Absolutely monster.
I'm a horrible person. Oh, right? Man. And the joke I do on stage is that one of these terrible essays became the book series Twilight. So,
which, 50 Shades of Grey, eventually. Yeah.
50 Shades of Grey was, of course, fan fiction.
It was indeed.
It was fan fiction.
Can we not mention fan fiction again today?
Why?
I've been having nightmares ever since we discussed it at New Year and...
Oh, I forget there's wrestling fan fiction.
Oh, there is. Yes.
There is. There is.
None of us are in it, right?
Not yet.
No comment. No comment.
Anyway, other guest, you've heard
Hi.
Him now.
Yes.
Is Lancashire's number one. he's somehow Welsh and from Lancashire and supports Leon. It's Matt Richards.
Yaki da.
What?
I'm going to Blackburn on Friday.
I'm so sorry. You'll get through it.
St George's Hall. I'm doing.
Oh, I know. Vanessa.
That's a nice,
as well.
Nice room, that.
Mm. So I'm doing that. So Matt, how was your festive season?
Very, very lovely. It was really nice. Got to spend it with friends. Yeah,
friends.
I'd say friends. It's more of a. It became more of a babysitting scenario. Well, I had to look after a certain person who will remain nameless. So JD,
we should clarify, this is not, for anyone who knows more about Progress and other companies, this is not James Davis of the London Riots.
No, it's James Drake of the Blackpool Blondes. Who
slash Grizzled Young Veterans Progress Tag Team Champions.
No. Of the Blackpool Blondes. get out of here, you. Cool tag teams who genuinely I had to take him Christmas shopping prior to and this is genuinely had to take him, so we finished Christmas shopping and he genuinely turned around and looked me in the eyes and went, I'm so glad you're here, I'd have no idea what I'd be doing or where I'd be going if you weren't.
Christmas shopping
So if his mum and his brother are listening, you're welcome. Because I made sure he bought them sensible gifts.
Lynx Africa gift.
He got two. I got none. But yeah, no, we had a wicked time. It's been really, really nice.
I own deodorant this year. This
I know, right? Yeah, same here, but, you know, it's fine.
I don't use it. It's not vegan. It's the lie, it is vegan. so, we've not done a pun game for a bit. Also, just get used to the sound of these lads' voices, because next week... we will do the now annual Wrestle Kingdom roundtable, which will be probably recorded in the same room.
You've assumed that I'm available?
Are you available?
Yeah.
There we go.
Point.
It's a Tuesday. You'll be available.
All right.
You're a comedian. I'm always available on Tuesday.
We're having a sleepover.
Yeah.
I'm going to come and stay over at Christmas.
I know, because you invited me, but then I had to tell you that, unfortunately, at 8 o'clock in the morning when the show is on, I will be looking after a child. Very much like you'll be doing,
yeah.
Christopher, looking after your son. We are going to do that next week. This week is time for the awards. A couple of things I will say before we get to the awards. Again, we didn't vote, so I took this from a couple of hundred emails that I got Immediately regretted not just setting up some kind of way of people voting automatically online. As I sat there, I started at like 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, going through all the emails, and I finished at 10 to midnight and then collapsed in bed, exhausted. And to be fair, some of the categories are really close and came down to the last couple of emails to actually determine a winner. Some of them, like I got 80 emails in with no other suggestion in the category apart from one thing. So some of them are close, some of them aren't close. Because this is essentially my podcast, there's quite a lot of people who voted for progress themed stuff. So there's not a progress bias because, again, I didn't vote. And also I probably wouldn't vote for my own company because I'm a bit weird like that. But yeah, progress is mentioned a little bit while we're talking through it. Other independent wrestling companies are certainly available, and I'm not trying to steer the bias in this direction, but you guys voted. So if you're not a fan of the fact there's a bit of a progress bias, then maybe you should have voted, would be my advice.
I should point out, I do have a genuine cough at this point. That wasn't me
coughing
to go throughout that entire
So, because it got to the point where like there was a couple of categories that were really close, and I was like, oh, a progress thing might win this. And I started thinking, oh, then it'll be really awkward when I have to say that it's won. But again, you guys voted. I didn't vote. These guys didn't vote. No one involved in progress management voted. Shout out to the one person who addressed his email voting to Jim, John and Glenn. John and Glenn have nothing to do with this podcast. It's definitely me. So if you did vote for progress stuff, cheers. But, you know, you're still definitely my friend if you didn't. And voted for other things, because let's be honest, 2017 in wrestling was awesome. But I did feel the need to just put in a little proviso that because I'm involved in this podcast, a lot of people vote for progress stuff because we talk about it a lot of the time. So,
are you
okay,
Matt?
You okay, Matt? Matt's eating a Mao Am at the minute.
It's a sour one, though. I didn't realise.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, yeah. Crash.
Mao Am sour.
So it's worth saying that. And also what we'll do is I've come up with the top three votes for each category. We'll talk about those. I'll announce them. We'll talk about them. Then we'll talk about who maybe we would have voted for if we'd have had a vote. And also if there's anything that's not on the list that we were surprised wasn't there, stuff like that. So cool. We'll do that. Before we get to that, I'm going to do a pun game because I thought of one on the way here. And I don't think we've ever done wrestling TV shows. I don't think we've ever done that. We've done wrestling films. Definitely done wrestling films. We've definitely done wrestling video games.
Okay.
I don't think we've ever done wrestling TV shows.
Alison Danger Things.
Nice.
Oh, that's good.
Nice.
Shit. Alistair Black Mirror.
Nice. Oh. The 9 o'clock PN news.
Oh. Hello. Good.
The Bill Goldberg.
I'd like to think that's like written as The Bill.
And also, brackets. The Bill Goldberg's.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
2 for 1. Boom. Yeah. I'm out of ideas now, lads.
Don't force it. It'll happen by itself.
Okay.
Just raise your hand if you've got one so we don't just talk over each other all the time. Because we do that.
All right.
Sometimes.
Sorry.
Couldn't we have said this in pre-production?
Yeah, I know, yeah. Go on.
I'm trying to think of one and I can't. So I'm going to do the first award.
There's a teacher thing. Do we now have to put our hand up when we speak at all?
All the time.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Right, so we did categories by WWE and non-WWE. Someone... Yes, mate.
Oh, nothing. I'm just seeing if it works.
Okay, good. So someone tweeted me yesterday, and what I thought was quite a passive-aggressive tweet, and it wasn't. It was actually just a nice one. And I apologise if I snapped. saying, why are you doing WWE and non-WWE? And it's not a conspiracy. It's just all the roundtables we do and the big list shows we do tend to talk about WWE, and then we do whole big swathes of stuff where we talk about indie wrestling in Japan and stuff. So I wanted to make sure that we had two different distinct categories.
And at this moment, we'd just like to state this podcast brought to you by Triple H and William Regal.
It isn't.
I can't wait for that to be a sound bite.
Yeah.
And okay. While Alex Jones talks about it on InfoWars.
So the first thing we're going to do is WWE Match of the Year. Now, before I mentioned that some categories were not close in the slightest. This would be one of those. This is the category where I honestly had, I think I counted 84 emails that I had taken the answer from.
Yes.
And nobody had said anything other than the match that actually won this. So I'll do it in reverse order.
All right.
No, because you're not going to catch. I'm not going to have you guess.
When you get to number one, Can we count to three and see if we both say it at the same time?
You'll both say it at the same time. Right, so WWE match of the year.
That's because we're connected.
In reverse order. Joint third.
Okay.
Joint third was John Cena versus AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble.
Oof, it was a banger.
And John Bryan will be very pleased. Alistair Black versus Velveteen Dream at NXT.
Also TakeOver
Houston.
Fantastic work.
Semicolon War Games. In second place is DIY versus Author of the Pain versus the Revival from NXT TakeOver Orlando.
Mm.
And then the winner with, and I'm not messing around, 10 times more votes than every other match combined.
Okay.
Is, I'll count to three. One, two, three.
Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg.
No.
Is it Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate by any chance?
That would be correct.
I thought so, yeah.
The
I thought
clear
so.
Winner by a bajillion miles is Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne from NXT TakeOver Chicago. A match that I'd watched four times within 24 hours of it happening. It was that good. Like, the sort of match that I actually put it up on the telly, made sure my wife sat down, got her a hot chocolate and made her watch it. Because it's that good. It's fantastic. I can't... That would have been my vote if I'd have voted for WWE Match of the Year. 100%. I don't know if you lads would have voted.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Completely.
I mean, there's other WWE matches I enjoyed.
There's been some fantastic matches this year, really have.
It's been so hard to pick out beyond that. The fact that that match was so excellent that it stood out head and shoulders. Because, you know, crack record time for me. From an in-ring point of view, I think WWE... again, delivers better and better each year just because they've suddenly realised that having a roster full of wrestlers makes for great matches.
There was a match I completely forgot about until I saw Matthew tweeting about it, which was Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman.
Which I was at and was wonderful. Also on that, both the tag matches at SummerSlam were fantastic too.
Pretty much any time you put the Usos in the ring, they've been dynamite this year.
I'd also say... because I was at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. Asuka versus Ember Moon at that show was great. Johnny Gargano versus Andrade Cien Almas was great. There's been a lot of very, very good matches this year.
I think the thing with this match was... and it's hard to talk about because, again, like we know them and we work with them. But that match, to me, the reason why it stood out to me, felt like the... again, excuse the pun, but the arrival of a style of wrestling that is being what people have been absolutely chomping at the bit. It's the reason why British wrestling has got so big. And it was extra awesome to see it on the big stage. And it felt like them two came in and went, this is what we do.
There's an element of expectation as well.
Yeah.
In that... we all kind of knew. There were everyone over on this side of the pod who'd be going to these shows all around the UK knew what was going to happen. But for a lot of people, and I think one of the most wonderful things about that is the difference in reaction at the start and the end of a match.
Yeah.
For me, a good match will end louder than it starts.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it'll be the same all the way through. You see a lot of matches where it starts loud and then it just kind of...
Yeah.
But that... it was, you really got that, where the hell have you been hiding?
I mean, the weird thing is considering they're both, at the time, one was the Progress champion and one was the Progress tag team champion, I think. I'm fairly certain. Like, I knew they were both great, and I knew that every time we'd ask them to do anything, they'd always knock it out of the park. Everyone that we asked to do on our roster, whenever we asked them to do something, they nearly always knock it out of the park. But that match was still... even better than I expected it to be. Like, I'm not going to be one of those people who goes, well, I know it'd be brilliant. I thought it'd be great. I didn't think it would be that brilliant. And I also didn't think it would be so good that arguably people in America, wrestling fans in America, are more excited about the WWE UK title than British people are sometimes. Yeah. Because, like, I know that because we had a WWE UK title match at Unboxing at the weekend. I know just announcing the title, people popped for it here because they weren't expecting it to be for a title. But in America, it's made everyone stand up there and go, oh, I hope there's a UK show at some point because we want to see it. Because there is that... it feels now, American people's appreciation of British wrestling is very similar to what Japanese people have, people's appreciation of British wrestling has been ever since Billy Robinson went there.
Yeah.
So in Japan, they've always loved British wrestling. Whereas it feels like everyone in America now has gone, yeah, we kind of like the British Bulldog and we kind of like William Regal. But now, oh my God, everything you want to send us is brilliant. And that, I mean, it's exciting for me as a wrestling promoter because how else can we do shows in America? That's the reason we can do shows in America is because, and people come to our shows to see British wrestlers. They're the ones who get, in Orlando, the guys who got the big pops were Jimmy Havoc, Mark Haskins. I know they're from New Zealand, but the Kiwis got a huge pop. And it was seeing the people that they can't see all the time there is the big thing.
And it's you see that now as well, that I don't know whether you get this as a promoter, but I'll get people emailing me or looking for work from overseas who maybe 4 or 5 years ago, or even 2 or 3 years ago, you're going, you know what, that'll help get eyes on what we're doing.
Yeah.
Whereas now, it's very much the other way around. Whereas I'm going, well, I could book you, Mr. Wrestler, but that would mean not booking some of these guys.
Well, that's
where the power is now.
That's exactly the thing. Like, I look at, so our show on Sunday, it technically had one input on. Which was Jack Gallagher, because we had to fly him in after Raw and fly him back after SmackDown and fly him back before Raw. So that's the only import on the show. Mm-hmm. Yes, Will Ospreay wrestles for New Japan, but Will Ospreay lives here. Mm-hmm. Everyone else on that show lives here. Like, there was no insane, ridiculous imports on the show, because whenever we announce unboxing, people are like, "Oh, maybe you're going to get this." No, I'm not. I'm not going to get. I'm not going to get Pentagon on the show because he's the most commonly asked for wrestler. I'm not going to get him on the show because it's Christmas. Flights cost 3 times more. Like, I can't just fly a load of people in when there's we can make a show that exciting with people who are here or people who aren't here but have a link to us as a company.
I still think you broke a lot of hearts by even joking that Jim Duggan was there.
Yeah, sorry. If you make noises about certain wrestlers while you're in the crowd, I will be a dick about it. Mm-hmm. I apologise.
I think what's what's even more interesting about this match is that they snuck in at the end of the year with another contender. One of the best matches of the year. Their match in NXT, but
that's not the best match on NXT TV this year.
Okay.
The best match on NXT TV this year is Cassius Ohno versus Johnny Gargano, which is amazing.
Yes, it is fantastic.
It's absolutely amazing.
But I think when you watch that match and then you watch the TakeOver match, even in that time period, they've continued to evolve and they continue to do more things and try new things. And I think the biggest difference from the TakeOver match to that was two guys went in as very talented wrestlers. And now you've got two absolute superstars. Mm-hmm. Like, they carry themselves in a different way, and they've just been absolutely amazing. And it's wicked that.
So about this time last year, I did an unboxing. I recorded various interviews with people while we were just sat around backstage, and I interviewed Pete Dunne, and I remember saying to him, quite a good year because he'd done Bowler and he but at this point he wasn't WWE UK champion. The WWE UK thing hadn't happened yet. So I think it had been announced, but it hadn't happened yet. And but he was our champion. He'd become our champion. And we had this chat where I went, "You've had a good year, haven't you?" And the first thing he said was, "Yeah, but you've had a kid." Like, and then I reminded him of it at the show on Saturday and said, "You've had an all right year, haven't you?" And he went, yeah, it's been pretty good. And what's really nice about Pete and Tyler, and pretty much everybody in particular, but Pete and Tyler is they're ridiculously good. I will say to anybody who listens that I think Pete's the best wrestler in the world at the minute. But they're still nice lads. As a promoter's point of view, they're not hard work at all. No. Like when Pete couldn't get to Sheffield the other week because of his flight being delayed, he tried everything to get to that show. And at the end, even if he couldn't wrestle, he wanted to still be able to walk in the door and say hi to everybody. And it was only in the end when we realised it was dangerous for him to try that he went, "Fine, I'll go home." But he tried everything to do that. Yeah. And it's not to get paid and it's not to sell T-shirts. It's because he's a nice lad who loves wrestling, and that's refreshing and quite lovely, I think.
Correct.
So,
Is there anything else we would have voted for if we, or that you're surprised isn't on the list? You don't have to say yes, because I think that list is pretty...
I'm trying to think of the stuff that really got me on the edge of my seat this year.
Nobody voted for Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
Which surprised me, because whilst it's not to my tastes...
Yeah.
I know a lot of people absolutely loved it, so I was surprised that wasn't.
I think I'm surprised that Aleister Black and Velveteen Dream so high. Because it was absolutely amazing, but I'm shocked that...
Well, when you say it was high...
Yeah.
Okay, just to put this into perspective...
Okay.
Right. it has... Like... Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne has 20 times the votes.
Okay, all right, okay, okay,
so
okay, okay.
Tyler and Pete is so far in triple figures for votes, and everything else is in single figures.
Because AJ and John Cena won the official WWE match of the year, and Tyler and Pete came third?
Yes, which, to be fair, is pretty amazing when you consider that...
Yeah.
I don't know who's voting for that, and also as well... If you think about the mainstream audience, and this was seen when NXT was actually on network television, the audience NXT gets is much, 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 much smaller than anything WWE mainstream main roster stuff gets. So, for it to come third means everybody who saw it went, "That's my match of the year."
Yeah.
And as proven by this, nearly every listener to this podcast who spent the time voting. Is absolutely definitely on board with it being the best WWE match of the year.
Yeah.
When we get to the next category, that was nowhere near as cut and dried as this was. Okay. I've got a new pun, guys.
Go on.
Holmes under the Greg the Hammer Valentine. Please my wife, she loves that show. Yep.
Location, location, location of domination.
Actually really bloody good.
Please send us yours at Jim Smallman, hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw. I'm trying to think of any more.
Oh no.
Wyatt family fortunes.
Nice. two broken Matt Hardy girls.
Oh god.
Oh no.
Agents of the Shield.
Finn Balamori. Oh!
This one's for my son, Hey Dougie Williams.
Aww.
Because he loves Hey Dougie. If you've never watched Hey Dougie,
it's banging.
Watch Hey Dougie. It's the greatest children's TV show ever made, especially the stick episode. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. Right, next category is non-WWE match of the year. The top three. The vote's much more spread over this. Mm. I think we only received votes for maybe 7 or 8 different matches from the WWE category because the one winner was so far out in front. For this... There was votes for over 30 different matches.
Right.
There is still a clear winner. And you'll see a pattern. In third is the G1 final between Kenny Omega and Tetsuya Naito. Second place is Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega at Dominion.
I wonder what's the number
which
one.
Which was the hour-long draw, wasn't
yes.
it? The one at Dominion. And then the winner is Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom, which is nearly a year old. I think... Now, technically, if you go by Meltzer ratings, this was 6 stars, wasn't it? And the one at Dominion was 6.25.
What?
Yes, 6.25.
Yeah, I know.
What did they do for that quarter?
Right. Well, they wrestle for an hour. They wrestle for an hour instead of 45 minutes.
That makes sense. Quarter of an hour, quarter of a star.
Now, I will posit that our wonderful listeners have voted for the Wrestle Kingdom one as the winner, partly because more people may well have seen it because Wrestle Kingdom was more of a destination show to see, but also because it had a definitive result.
Yes.
People don't like draws. People don't like matches without. If that match had happened in America, in an American indie, let's say it happened in PWG, and it went to an hour-long draw, not a single person would have gone, bravo, guys. Every single fan there, and this is not a knock at wrestling fans, but every single fan there would have chanted 5 more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Because we are not... Western fans are no longer conditioned to watching draws.
Though I would love to see five more minutes chance at New Japan while Gedo's trying to explain, look, we've only got the building until 11 o'clock. we need to get out. All right, we've got a curfew here, lads.
What they'll do is they'll make it like one of those gentlemen shows. They'll just pass a pint glass around so everyone can put some money in to pay the overtime.
It's, for me, there was very little doubt that this would have won. But it was only just my favourite match at Wrestle Kingdom. If you go back and listen to the Wrestle Kingdom Roundtable...
Is that available on the Distraction Pieces?
It is available on this very podcast stream on the Distraction Pieces Network. But I liked a lot of Wrestle Kingdom because it was a fantastic show. But I liked the Shibata match more.
Of course you did.
To start with, and then went back and watched it back again and again and again and again. And now, yeah, I mean, it's arguably the best match ever, which means it wasn't really going to be a problem for it to win this, really. Yes.
RuPaul's Dragunov race.
Oh.
Nice.
Or RuPaul's arm drag race.
Nice.
Or
RuPaul's
or
Ricky the Dragon steamboat race.
How about RuPaul Orndorff's drag race?
Oh!
Nice.
Yes, nice. Queen.
So, I'm not surprised there's three New Japan matches in the list. There was lots of people. Lots of matches that got one or two votes. If what I would have voted for very probably would have been the Wrestle Kingdom Okada and Omega match, because I do think it's arguably the best match in the history of time.
See, the match that I had in mind is different, and I'll explain in a minute. But yeah, it's, I think New Japan have just had a year that's just been unmatched in terms of,
but it's unmatched in terms of what our sensibilities are. So this is something I was reading about the other day. If you were to put on Raw, I like wrestling. I'm quite happy to watch a 45 minute long wrestling match.
Yeah.
If you were to put in front of a WWE audience, which is very different, like not us, but a mainstream WWE audience. If you were to put matches like New Japan have in those shows on Raw,
oh god,
no one would watch.
I was gonna say,
which is bizarre.
I was gonna say more is unmatched in terms of what New Japan have done, like especially in the new era, because they've just been absolutely killing it.
I think this year is arguably better than the best year that All Japan ever had.
It's a fair play, yeah. It's
you know, when All Japan had those nuts mid-90s, and arguably, I think it was probably about 94, 95 would have been their best year.
Yeah.
When they were getting 5-star matches left, right, and centre. I think this year for New Japan's probably better than that. I think this year for New Japan's probably better than 92, 93 All Japan Women's.
I think the thing that for me, again, just me personally, that stood out for New Japan was the stories they told this year, which, again, always sounds a little bit odd considering given the type of company, but. The stuff with Omega and that first match of that Okada series is a great story in itself of Okada winning and then doing what Okada does, because he's the Rainmaker and he gets over arrogant and then he comes up against this guy that he's beaten before but can't put away. Like, that's a really compelling story that you know is not going to finish there. It's going to be something else. And then the rehab slash sort of Judas story, rehabilitation of Shibata, you know, which obviously ended incredibly tragically. But then you had Naito finally winning the big one and finally going to Wrestle Kingdom. And like, they've told such compelling stories within their own universe, you know. And then you forget things like Tanahashi and Ibushi, like their match where Tanahashi has said Ibushi is the next golden child, but then Ibushi was a dick because he thought, I have to be a dick and I have to actually kill this guy to take his throne. And it's like, for me, again, like, also big shout out, there is a YouTube channel. There's a YouTube channel called Showbuckle. I don't know if you've ever checked them out. They don't post a lot, but they do amazing videos about rivalries or particular wrestlers and explain slightly more intricate stories and stuff like that. Because I believe the guy used to teach in Japan. And yeah, they're amazing. Go and check them out. Like, if you're coming to Wrestle Kingdom this year and you're kind of like, I don't know who anyone is, they do a comprehensive story, basically from Tanahashi to Okada to Kenny Omega. They've got an amazing storyline thing. So yeah, it's called Showbuckle on YouTube. They're wicked at what they do, man.
Cool. Who else? What other things were we potentially voted for non WWE match of the year? I've got one which I would have done, but the most people voted before December the 30th, and we had a show on Saturday which had a match on that I would choose, which is Will Ospreay against Travis Banks, which is one of the best matches Progress has ever had. Full stop. The end. It's stupidly good. And then it's followed by another one of the best matches Progress has ever had, which is Pete Dunne, Jack Gallagher. So, I regret putting that show at the end of the year where it can't win any fucking awards for anything.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the best shows we've ever done, just from beginning to end. And it's the shows the power of not announcing anything in advance, because everybody gets a massive pop. And then the people who deserve a massive pop get a pop so loud that... that people who work at the Electric Ballroom think that we broke the acoustics. So, quite pleased. Christopher, any other choices from you?
Now, are we... Obviously, I was going to ask this before you mentioned the Progress show from the weekend. Because I don't watch a great deal of New Japan. And it's not my thing.
No.
And I've said this in the past. and I've not watched an awful lot of non-WWE this year outside of NXT. But for my money... The match, if I was going to say something outside of WWE, I'm going to go again with a match that I think, I'm going to say this. This is a show that I did, that my company put together, our company put together last week. And a match, to me, that does everything you want a wrestling match for, which was James Drake versus Damon Lee in a match where all bins were legal.
Yes, they were.
And it was, in parts, ridiculous. In parts hilarious, and yet every moment it felt like a fight.
Yeah,
and there was no point where the guys that were there weren't invested watching, that they weren't into it, that they didn't want to see someone win and someone lose. And I think everyone knows how good James Drake is, or starting to realise. And for my money, you won't get too many people better than Damon Lee as well. Damon was on fire, absolutely incredible, and I was doubled up laughing.
He's
and wincing moments apart.
I don't think I've I think I've rarely seen anyone with his comedic timing or his understanding of how to structure where it should be funny, where it should be serious, where he's the, you know, has to play the straight guy, and he's amazing. Like, there is a point in the match which absolutely ruined me, which is where he keeps trying to punch James Drake, and James Drake keeps putting KFC buckets in the way, so they keep going on his arms. And there's a bit where they do it six times because there's three buckets on each arms. And it's sort of halfway through where Damon just shouts, "I don't know why this keeps happening to me," which is one of the most fucking brilliant fourth wall breaks yet. It's one of them things, if that was a joke in The Simpsons that kind of like went, whoa, you'd be like, that's amazing. Like, he's so talented at what he does.
It's Regal-esque. It's that ability. There are a lot of people, and I've seen... And I won't say what it was, but I was telling you about a supposed comedy match I saw this year that was excruciating. Because a comedy match isn't about just dicking about and going, "Hey everyone, wrestling's not real." It's about being able to combine that into it, but still have a competition, still have a fight, still have a contest. And they did it. And it's what, again, I just wish there was more people there, and I wish that. But everyone who was there had a great time, and I think it's... The fact that it's recorded for posterity. I reckon it's going to be our Sex Pistols match. Mm. That's going to be the one where people for years say they were there.
And I was.
No, you weren't. Ooh, conspiracy.
It is.
Anything you choose?
On a personal level, I'd probably pick Death House. Because I don't think I've ever...
It's got, I think, 3 or 4 votes as well, so...
Purely for the fact that as someone who's been ringside... for quite a few death matches now and watches Tournament of Death every year, I've still yet to see anything like it. I mean, the thing that kind of gets forgotten in a weird way, because the reveal was such a huge part of it and was so brilliantly done, that is that the match itself is an absolutely fantastic death match. It's brilliant.
Because death matches can be shit.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, death matches can be... One of the reasons I don't like most hardcore wrestling is because quite a lot of it is fat men from the American Midwest cutting each other. Like, that's what quite a lot of it is. And then you have people who are dead good at it, like Jimmy Havoc, like Clint Margera, like Drew Parker, like Ricky Shane Page, who are both great, all great in that match, but all really good wrestlers, full stop, the end anyway. So, like people can be really good at it. Like, when I interviewed David Starr the other week, and he was talking about the fact that Masada was one of the people who trained him in chain wrestling.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, because the reason he was a good deathmatch wrestler was because he was a good wrestler. The reason Jimmy Havoc's a good deathmatch wrestler is he's a good wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, if you're just a dude who wants to cut yourself, there are other ways to do this.
It's the equivalent of you go and see stand-up and people who swear and say offensive things rather than being good stand-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
I think the thing as well is...
I mean, based on the drunk cast, Jimmy Havoc will swear and say offensive things.
But that's part of his charm.
That's part of his charm.
But the thing with the match was, because of the emotion involved, and like everyone on the show, like if you go back and watch it, basically the front is just a bunch of wrestlers who are legitimately like on the edge of their wits, because it was just such an incredible... I've genuinely never experienced anything like it.
Well, we had that unboxing the other day, and I know you knew this because you were in commentary, so you could hear, because we have a gorilla position behind where you commentate, and you could hear certain wrestlers just losing their minds. Because even though they all knew what we planned, because they'd had a booking email, everyone knew what we planned, they were still popping for people, like, people coming up to you going, "Do you hear that pop?" Yeah, I did, yeah.
It was out there. I won't name who it was, but the end of the Pete and
it's Trent Seven. You can name who it was.
Oh, I was gonna give him some.
No, it was Trent Seven who was losing his mind like a fan.
I had my headset on. I'm screaming, Callum's screaming, 700 people are screaming, and I could still hear him in the back going, "Fuck me, Bab, I was fucking sick." I was like, "Yep, that's good.
But that's the thing that makes me most happy as a wrestling promoter is seeing... is seeing the curtain sellout we had for the entire show. It was really difficult to get anywhere because everyone, once they'd wrestled and could kind of be more visible, it was really difficult being backstage on Saturday.
Because
no one could go out and sell merch.
Packed.
So it's too big. And we booked a lot of multi-man matches.
Booked it. Stupidly. Six person and eight person,
and tag match, and then three other matches. Yeah. Four other matches. So, yeah, it was busy. Good. That's non-WWE match of the year done. Any more TV? Any more TV shows?
I'm going to go and have a wee.
You do that. Off you go.
It's just an announcement.
Do you have to wait in silence till he gets back?
No, don't.
No. Let's do more TV programmes.
Yeah.
Okay. Buff Bagwell, the Vampire Slayer.
Nice. I like he got his laugh as he was leaving. That's the best bit. I'm trying to think. It's really hard, isn't it? I genuinely sprung this one on us. I'm going through every cooking show ever.
Deep Priestly Witched.
Ooh, nice.
Thank you.
Good work.
They've made a lot of TV shows, haven't they?
They've made... The problem here is I've picked something where there's too many...
Don Westworld.
Oh, nice. Nice. Come on now.
The Game of Thrones.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Conspiracy. all I can get, the only TV program I've got in my head at the minute is Jules Holland's Hootenanny, which is of no use to anybody unless you count Hulk Hogan being in Mr. Nanny, and then you can probably shoehorn it in.
I might have one.
Okay, come on, get back into your seat.
Stop breaking things and sit down.
Oh, it's technically not with a wrestler's name.
Oh, God. I'm making fucking excuses already.
Band of Good Brothers.
All right, we'll take it.
Good.
Thanks.
We'll take it.
Thanks.
On the condition that you watch Band of Brothers again.
Oh, no, because I cry. You know, I've not told you about this.
No, you have. That's why I'm making you do it.
The only two things that I ever cried at, like film-wise or TV-wise, is Band of Brothers, episode number 7, when they find the concentration camps, because it ruins me. And all men crying tend to ruin me. And Doctor Who, when David Tennant left, and he went, "I don't want to go," and it murdered me.
Using a wrestler's real name?
Oh, God.
The Kip Sopranos.
Oh, good. You can live.
Billy Gunn's amazing real name.
good.
I'm desperate to get more. I need to get more.
It'll come to you. Just.
It's just really hard.
It's like a bar of soap. The harder you squeeze it.
That's really hard. That's true. Next category. Yes. WWE Show of the Year. spot a pattern in our top three once again. The WWE Show of the Year is in third place NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. Mm. In second place NXT TakeOver Houston semicolon War Games. And in first place NXT TakeOver Chicago.
Yes.
I think most people chose Chicago because of Pete versus Tyler and because of the fantastic angle at the end involving Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, which was wonderfully well done after a fantastic match. For me, personally, I prefer NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. I think because there's never a weak match on any TakeOver show.
No.
And all three of these TakeOver shows are wonderful and three of my favourite shows, not just of this year, but of the decade easily. Mm. But for me, I like NXT TakeOver Brooklyn slightly more. I might be biased because I was there. I might be biased because 10,000 people chanted "This is progress" on the pre-show. but you know, it was to be fair, it was the first time I'd enjoyed myself in New York.
I didn't hear NXT TakeOver Orlando in there.
It did get votes.
No, because that would be mine. I mean, admittedly, again, I was there in person, so you get the feel of it. Mm. But for me, NXT Orlando was the one of the year because you had the three way tag match, you had. Sanity 8-man tag. You had the women's match. You had loads of great stuff on there.
It was a great show. It was a weird one for me because I didn't watch that one until about a week later when we came home and did the podcast about it. Because when NXT TakeOver Orlando was on, I was at the WWN Super Show because it was Progress versus Evolve. So I was busy.
Did Progress win?
I think we did. No, I think it was a tie, like all versus shows.
Enchanted five more matches at the
That's wrestling 2017. Finishes with a handshake, doesn't it?
Yeah. 50-50 booking, everybody. Come on.
I respect you both.
Any other WWE suggestions for Show of the Year?
Nope.
Maybe outside of the NXT shows, if you had to choose one of the main roster shows. I always love the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
I enjoyed WrestleMania because I was there.
Correct.
I really enjoyed SummerSlam.
Yes,
a couple of things that didn't quite hit the mark for me at SummerSlam, but the main event was great. The tag matches were great.
Survivor Series was pretty solid as well.
Survivor Series was solid.
The thing is, there's so much. Mm. I can't remember half of them.
Yeah.
And the trouble is as well, you also get, because there's so much packed into those shows, every show seems to have at least one bum note or something that makes people go, like Randy Orton winning the Royal Rumble, sent everyone
completely
into
forgot
tailspin.
He won it.
Randy Orton went, oh, he did, didn't he?
Yeah. Randy Orton winning the Royal Rumble. Then you had, in fact, he was in very much the Tommy Wiseau of the year in many ways, wasn't he? Because he won the Royal Rumble. I did not hit them. It's bullshit. And then there was the House of Horrors. Oh, God, help us all. That was magical.
I really like the House of Horrors. I refused to badmouth it for two reasons. One, positive podcast. And two...
That's him now.
That's him. And
oh,
two,
God, not let this pray.
And two, at least someone's trying something different. I think every time someone tries to do something different, people ridicule them.
Mm.
And... that's why I refuse to ridicule people for doing this. Because I genuinely think it was fun. I had fun watching it.
Oh,
and
it.
Yeah, some of it was me laughing at some bits that were particularly silly. But in the main, I enjoyed it. And I thought everyone involved in it tried their best to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you try something different, people go, I don't like that. But in 10 years' time, that could be the norm of our wrestling's presented.
I hope so.
Right,
I'm in,
and that could genuinely be the norm of our wrestling's presented, and people could be.
In fact, we do away with rings, and we just have matches in fans' houses.
Yeah, I
mean, that's leading down a dangerous path.
I still want that show in a field over here that could potentially be a deathmatch tournament. I'm just saying.
Yeah, if you were that bloke who spoke to Matt.
Oh, I saw him the other day. He was
did you?
Progress. Yeah, he reminded me.
Can we do a match in a field at the centre of a maze in Cornwall?
Oh my God, that's it. Yes. Yes, we can. Let's sort that out now. Let's stop recording this and get on to the council.
Let's go plant some fucking maize.
Yeah, so I think it was always going to be a takeover that won. Yeah. Which is, and again, it's the sensibilities of us as fans and you guys as fans listening, that NXT is probably always kind of going to be our thing. On to, hello, mate.
Match of the New Day.
Oh, nice. That is nice. I would pay money to watch Big E just sing the Match of the Day theme music.
While gyrating his hips.
Yes, I would. It's a very specific fetish. Non-WWE show of the year. Quite close, up until the last couple of emails. I apologise. In third place is Progress Chapter 55, Chase the Sun, which I'm involved in. I will make no comment. Number two is Super Strong Style 16 by Progress. But thank God we didn't win, because I would never hear the end of it. Because the winner is, of course, Wrestle Kingdom 11. Now,
can you categorically prove that you have no involvement with New Japan Pro Wrestling?
I have no involvement with New Japan. Not at all. Conspiracy. They won't let me.
Conspiracy. Let
me. Now, it only won by a couple of votes. And thanks. If you voted for a Progress chapter, thanks. But what happened is, lots of people voted for different chapters. If you've all pooled your resources and voted for Super Strong, it would have been fine. My point of view is, Chapter 55, I'm proud of, because it was our big show and we drew a lot of storylines together. Super Strong Style, because it's three shows all together, and I've said this loads of times, Super Strong Style is the best thing I've ever done as a wrestling promoter. And in seconds, probably unboxing. But Super Strong Style this year is the best thing. If I had to take one thing away from Progress that my involvement in Progress that I'm the most proud of, it's probably those three shows at Super Strong Style, which I'm super proud of. But in no way should it be winning best non-WWE show of the year when Wrestle Kingdom exists.
Okay, if you want to win next year...
I don't want to win my own award. I can give myself an award.
If you want to win next year, I know what you need. Inconsistency. That's
work
what
on
you need
it.
To do. Just do.
I'll work on it.
Just do 11 shit shows.
Oh, mate, there's people out there on the internet who think all our shows are shit, mate. I'm not bothered.
See, I think
you know who you are.
Why would they be listening? That's like self harm.
I don't know, but they do. It's weird.
I would have chosen Super Strong Style as well, but I was involved with it, so I'm trying to think.
See, I wouldn't. If I was voting, I would have absolutely 100%. Voted for either Wrestle Kingdom or Dominion, because they're both wonderful shows, and because I'm daft with the voting stuff. I deliberately won't vote for Progress stuff because it's my thing, and also if I'm honest, I don't enjoy the Progress shows in the same way that any fans do.
No,
because I find them an exhausting, stressful experience, and I only tend to enjoy them about 6 months later. Mm. Like, with Super Strong Style, my initial response at the end of it was relief that everything had worked. And then about 2 or 3 months later, I looked back on it, watched it again, and went, oh, I quite like that. Mm. And with Unboxing, I'm happy with it because everyone talked about it. We were trending on Twitter for most of Saturday. And it got us loads of attention just for one show that we do for fun. Mm. Like, that show is a fun show at the end of the year. No season ticket holders get a ticket for it or anything. Everyone has to buy a ticket for it. And The one drawback of having a show that had as many cool surprises on it is now I have to top it. That's hard.
But then you've been saying that for years.
Yeah,
but that to me is why myself and John and Glenn are good promoters, is because we don't go, we know this now. I am terrified about 2018 because I want it to go well, and for it to go well, we have to top 2017, which is every year we've had has been the best year we've had. So now I've got to top it. But eventually, we're going to have a year where we don't top it. And that's the fear. And it's always been my fear in my comedy career as well. And I've always wanted to be busier every year in comedy. And the year that I'm not busier is the year I'll stop. And nearly had to stop last year. But that was just because I fucking hated it. But with wrestling, it's always... I think if you don't have that mindset, then what's the point? Like, there is no point. Like, everyone at New Japan is probably sitting there going, fuck me, we had a good 2017, didn't we? How do we beat it? No one's going to be sitting there going, nah, we got their money.
Yeah.
No one who's good at their job thinks about this. This is the point
I'm making, is not, you shouldn't think that. It's just me kind of saying, I have faith that you will.
Thanks, mate. And I appreciate it.
And be not afraid. be excited, because you've got everything you need to make things more exciting.
Matt's waving an imaginary ding, tiny flag.
Ding, 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 ding.
Is that what you
That's
saw?
The pun alarm.
Oh, pun alarm.
Oh, God. We've got...
That's good. Mad Men Manson.
Oh, very good.
Mm. God.
And I was getting really bored about you talking about how good you are and your promotion is. So.
Fuck off. I was trying to deny it. don't vote for my own promotion because I got no time.
Big shout out this year to, personally for me, Dragon Gate have had some amazing there we shows.
Sorry. The Dragon Gate alarm's gone off. Sorry.
But for me, in terms of the promotion that I don't have anything to do with and I have watched and consistently enjoyed their shows this year is Attack.
Yeah, Attack are great.
Attack Pro have been absolutely... It's just so much fun.
Yeah.
Which do you remember what that is? Fun. Do you remember fun?
I've not had fun. Oh, I've not had so fun, mate, good. For several years.
Yeah,
that's a lie. I have fun nearly every day.
Yeah.
I set aside 20 minutes for fun every day.
Big shout out to Chris Roberts and Shea Purser for having the non-wrestlers match of the year.
So
fantastic.
Glenn was at that show and Glenn messaged me and said... Shea Purser against Chris Roberts is the best match I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I went back to him and went, just clarify. Shea Purser and Glenn's sensibilities in wrestling are very different than mine. I said, just clarify, Shea and Chris, two lads I like very much, they had a better match than Okada and Omega. And
yeah,
he
man.
Said, 100% yes. because Glenn's sensibilities for wrestling are very different than mine, and that's another reason that Progress works as a company, is we're not all the same. Otherwise, I mean, my show, if it was my show, not our show, then there'd be a lot of hour long draws, and probably if it was down to me. A lot of things got votes. Three Fight Club Pro shows got votes. Attack's Missile Tour got votes.
Yeah.
One of the What Culture shows got votes.
Good.
Several New Japan shows got votes. Most people obviously vote for Wrestle Kingdom, but Dominion got votes, and so on. And the G1 finals got votes as well. And it was nice to see the spread of votes that were out there. But the fourth was Battle of Los Angeles.
Yeah, cool.
So for me, as a huge PWG fan, the fact that people vote for my little company more than they voted for PWG is insane, because Bowler is wonderful every year. All Star Weekend got votes as well, because it was again very good. So lots of things, and 16 Carat for WXW got votes too.
Yes.
And it's nice to see that nearly every time people voted for a tournament, they went, I'm hoping I can vote for all 3 days. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
What was interesting, if they voted for Super Strong Style, is the amount of people who said, if I am voting for a particular day, then the votes were split equally pretty much between day one, day two, and day three, which is crazy for me, because I'm not entirely sure what the best day is.
But that's what you're looking for, isn't it?
Yeah.
If people walk away from a show and everyone's got a different favourite match, you've done your job pretty much right.
Yeah.
And if you do a tournament in 3 days and everyone comes away and goes, this one just edges it, congratulations.
Good. So that was non-WWE show of the year. Yes, mate.
The Incredible BB Hulk.
You played right to your audience.
I'd also like to say it's the first time I've not called him BB Hulk on the podcast.
Yeah, you've learned it's BB.
Just because I've only ever seen it fucking written down.
Right. WWE Male Wrestler of the Year. There was a clear winner in this category. But incidentally, the first five votes, when I counted the emails up, the first five emails all voted for Roman Reigns. All five.
Nice.
Roman Reigns, all five, straight away. He's not in the top three. That's what's really weird about it. The first five votes, Roman Reigns, and then I didn't write the winner's name down, because obviously I've got a spreadsheet and I'm writing the name down as I get it, and then write the number of votes down next to it. I didn't write the winner's name down until I answered about the 17th or 18th email, and then he won by a fucking mile.
Okay? Interesting. So,
Roman Reigns got the first five votes. Presumably Roman, Rosie. And who are the other three? The Rock.
What was really nice is that a lot of people did vote for Roman Reigns because, as we bang on about on this podcast, everything he does is good.
Yeah.
Stop complaining about him. Like, if you don't like him, fine, but don't boo him or chant "You can't wrestle." He clearly can. He's clearly a better wrestler than you. Unless you're listening to this now and you're Kazuchika Okada, at which point, then fine, you're a better wrestler than him.
WWE Male Wrestler of the Year. In third place is The Miz, the greatest heel in the history of wrestling.
I like that. I like that.
In second place is Braun Strowman.
Nice.
And in first place, by a long, 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 long way, is AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens came fourth. Roman Reigns came fifth, by memory. Certain NXT wrestlers got votes. Pete Dunne got votes. Now, I have to explain this. In a minute, we'll do the non-WWE wrestler. If you voted for Pete Dunne as non-WWE wrestler, I couldn't take it because he is WWE contracted. So, I'll explain this now. Pete Dunne didn't get a lot of votes in either of these categories because I think people were unsure whether or not they could vote for him in either category.
Presumably, we just need to have the Pete Dunne Award for being Pete Dunne.
Yes. So,
who won that this year?
Pete Dunne.
Didn't expect that.
So, I'm not surprised to see AJ Styles win. This year is, and last year as well, to an extent, converted me into being an AJ Styles fan. Someone who, when he was in Ring of Honor, I was like, oh, he's all right. And when he was in TNA, I was like, if I ever watched it, I was like, he's decent, but was never at the forefront. I remember going to TNA shows with you, and people losing their minds when AJ Styles came out, and me thinking, it's AJ Styles. Like, whereas now, I'm like, oh no, he's absolutely brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. And I've stood next to him and had a conversation with him this year, and I'll be honest with you, his hair is beautiful. His hair is even more beautiful than James Drake's.
Get out! No, calling it out now.
Bollocks. He is at best a 0.7 Drake.
I was there when he was the first person to win a WWE title, a world title outside of the United States or Canada.
So were we.
So that was pretty sweet. He's had a good year, isn't he? He's been involved in a lot of good matches. You know, is there anyone? Any thoughts on those three? Anyone that you would have put in there that isn't in there?
Jinder Mahal?
No one voted for Jinder in this category. You did get some votes in another one in a bit. But no one voted for Jinder in this category. Okay.
Best WWE wrestler of the year. Yeah, it's just, no one's come close to him at all. In terms of consistency, in terms of everything out there. Plus, the big thing is that in the last 2 years, he now carries himself like the star that he is.
Yeah.
Whereas he was, as a fan of his going back to TNA, in fact, he was one of the guys who got me hooked to TNA when he was running the X division there and he was having these incredible matches. But now he's so much better than he was then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Strike it, Lucky Cannon. Thanks. It's niche, isn't it? Good.
Cannon. Oh, if we're going to go that niche, how about Braden Walker, Texas Ranger?
Wow.
Why is Matthew bleeding from the nose and ears?
Yes, mate. 100%. No, you're right about him carrying himself. I think he now, AJ Styles now fits into that category that in a few years, we'll look back on this year and it'll feel like the years when Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels were at the forefront of WWE, whether they're a champion or not, just having
just shit hot matches all the time, like constantly. I'm surprised, Jin, because from my point of view, we didn't do a most improved category.
Yeah.
Which Jinder would have won easily because, and again, I've had people when we were doing the last round table we did, people tweeting and a lot of people think it's fine to be disrespectful towards Jinder. Whereas I look at it from this point of view, like, I'm not the greatest comedian in the world. I'm okay at being a comedian. Mm. And if all of a sudden I got given the chance to be on Live at the Apollo and all this sort of stuff because I'd worked hard, because he got his chance because he worked really hard. Yeah. He got released, he got brought back because he worked really hard, and the same as Drew did, right? So he worked really, really hard, he got hired again, and he got put, and yes, some of that push is down to the reason of trying to break the market in India and stuff like that, but at the same time, he got it because he worked really hard.
Yeah.
And he's good at his job. And the Singh brothers are great at their job as well, as part of the package.
Yeah.
But if I was, you know, like, if I was pulling up trees on the independent comedy circuit, and like, all of a sudden someone went, do you want this chance? Do you want to be thrust into the limelight? I'd be like, cheers. Because I would like to think my hard work got me there. And that's what happened with Jinder. And I don't get why people have chosen to be as disrespectful towards him. It bugs me.
So I went out to take a leak, but did not announce it thusly.
Hmm.
And we've gone from AJ Styles to Jinder Mahal in my absence.
Yes. Yeah. Basically, just talking about, we don't have a most improved category, but I think if we did, Jinder would have easily nailed that because he's made the absolute most of the situation they put himself in and conducted himself with an amazing amount of decorum. When you imagine the amount of just grief he will have got from people, because wrestling fans can be really cruel, and this is the thing I don't get. I tweeted something about this. In the run up to Christmas, is like, I really like wrestling, and admittedly my attitude towards wrestling has changed since I become a promoter. So I'm now much more positive because I now understand how hurtful it is when people when people slag off what you do. I hate it. So that I now won't, with the exception of every bit of business Five Star Wrestling has ever conducted, I won't slag off anything because I was waiting for someone to point out that I'm always negative about them. And you know what? If they smash it out of the park on their tour, fair play to them, I'll stop being negative, right? But I don't see the point in being negative about something that we love. If you're a wrestling fan, you've got into wrestling because you love it. If you only love one type of it, then fine, you can concentrate on that type, but don't slag off the stuff you don't enjoy. There's some people I've seen... I saw this, and it was nothing to do with progress, and it was nothing to do with British wrestling. I was just watching some American people just abusing guys who are on WWE. Like, I was just looking through Twitter one night, and just like doing nothing but giving American guys on the WWE main roster abuse. And then you look through their Twitter feeds, and all their Twitter feed is being negative about wrestling. But in their bio, it says wrestling fan. So if you're a wrestling fan, what are you getting out of it by hating everything that WWE do, or everything that TNA do, or everything that independent wrestling does? What are you getting out of it? What's the point? This is genuinely the best time ever to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Not only because everything that's happening now is pretty good, right? At the base level for wrestling at the minute is pretty good. And at the top end of it, it's fucking unbelievable, right? But not only that, because of the internet being the way it is, you can now watch everything that's ever been made ever.
Yeah.
So if you've got a problem with wrestling, why bother? Why bother being a fan if all you're going to do is complain about it and snipe about it? I don't see the point. It's stupid.
As an experiment to understand this mindset, I think in the next couple of weeks, as someone who can't and won't eat eggs, I'm going to go to a Wetherspoons, which is a popular commercial chain, order the poached eggs, and complain about them constantly the entire process.
Yeah, but I do material about I did material in my girls about people who are in relationships and do nothing but complain about their other half. You will know if you're listening to this now. I guarantee you will have a friend who is in a relationship and does nothing but complain about them. Just leave. Like, if you don't like wrestling anymore, if all you can find in wrestling is stuff to complain about because it's not how it was in 1989 or it's not how it was in 1998, then stop watching it. Like, get a new hobby. I'm fine with you doing that. I don't understand the people being... You don't have to... This is the thing. You don't have to like everything. That's absolutely given, right? Because I certainly don't like everything in wrestling. I know you guys don't. There's certain stuff that I don't like. I just don't feel the need to slag people off. It seems so silly. It seems so daft to do that. Yes.
Quantum Leaping Lanny Poffo.
Oh-ho! Come on! It's from serious point to legendary pun. There we go. Right. So, non-WWE male wrestler of the year. Again, was really close until the last 10 emails when one person who was behind in second place took the lead and won.
Is it Chris Roberts? Because it bloody well should be.
No, Shea Persa. So, non-WWE male wrestler of the year. And we had so many different votes for this. Over 50 different names were named.
Isn't that wonderful?
Ooh. Yeah, it's great.
That there's such a broad spread of brilliance, aren't there?
50 different names were named. This is your top three.
Were you laughing at the phrase, broad spread of brilliance?
Your mum's got a broad spread of brilliance.
Wow.
That's why Matthew's so pretty.
Right. Non-WWE male wrestler of the year. In third place.
Should we take a moment to compose ourselves?
No, no, I'm ploughing on. Come on.
It's turning into a fucking carry-on movie.
In third place is Travis Banks.
Bringing up the rear.
Travis Banks
in Banks. Third place. In second place is Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Who was leading for the vast majority of the vote until the last few emails. Mm-hmm. And then the winner, should be no surprise when you've seen who's second, is Kazuchika Okada. I'm not surprised that those two lads are first and second. No. Travis was a couple of votes in front of people like Zack Sabre Jr., Walter, Will Ospreay, Tyler Bate got a lot of votes, but then I couldn't count them because he's WWE UK. Same with Pete Dunne, got a few votes, but he's WWE UK, so couldn't necessarily put him in there. Neither of them would have been in the top three either way. So yeah, anyone that you would have put, who would your vote have gone to first? For
probably Okada, but again, like, because I was being serious about mentioning Jinder Mahal as well, but in the same vein of Jinder Mahal, Naito, because like
Naito got a lot. Naito was probably sixth, I think.
Yeah, like again, if he was most improved, I'd probably put him in there with Jinder, but no, I'd probably go with Okada. Though,
and it's amazing with Naito out now. Everyone thinks Naito's cool as fuck. But when Naito was a babyface,
this is what I mean.
Naito's the Japanese version of The Rock.
Yeah.
In that he got pushed as a babyface and everyone went, no, we absolutely don't like you. Mm-hmm. They made him a dickhead heel and now he's the most popular wrestler in Japan. It's brilliant. I love how wrestling works. He's the best. If I'd have voted in this category, I probably would have also voted for Okada because I don't think you can have that many brilliant matches and not be seen as the best. But Omega's... And the difference between Okada and Omega is Omega does all the other stuff around it. So Okada is... He is a character... If you speak Japanese, he's a very good character. But his character is the same and he's not doing a lot of the other stuff that in the West you're expected to do out of professional wrestling. Whereas Omega is having amazing matches, but also has a character and can do promos and towards the end of the year has been involved in an amazing storyline. So I'd struggle to choose between the two of them. I'm delighted to see Travis in there because he's done great things with Progress and with Fight Club and with What Culture and with fucking anyone he's chosen, Rev Pro, fucking anyone he's chosen to wrestle for this year and has been at Bola and has wrestled for Evolve and essentially has been... has had a fucking great year. So I'm delighted to see Trav in there, but obviously because he's Progress champion, I wouldn't have voted for him. So who would you have voted for?
I would have gone with Zach Gibson.
Also got a lot of votes. Was in the top 10.
Because he's, again, it's interesting seeing his ascent hasn't been as quick as I thought it would be. But it's happening. And in particular over the last month, every time I think to myself, your promos are getting better, he just takes it up another level. He's always... I think he comes into that mindset of never resting on your laurels. There are wrestlers out there who already think they're the bollocks, think they're the business, think they're the brilliant as they are. And you're very, very good, but that attitude will cripple you. That will stagnate you. Whereas clearly with Gibson, he's got this thing that he could have just sat on. but he's still refining it. He's still refining it. And as soon as his stick started to get a little bit popular, he started taking it away, started changing it up. And he's... We were discussing this in the drive back from Progress the other day. The mindset of make your opponent look as good as possible is slipping, I think, in some places. There's a lot of make yourself look as good as possible. And the thing with that is that it takes you a little bit longer to be noticed, and it takes you a little bit longer to get to where you need to be. But when it happens, you will stay there. You will not be dislodged. Mm. And I think with Gibson, it'll be a longer journey, but it'll be worth it. Because he's the one you quietly go, when was the last time you saw him have anything less than a great match? Mm. And no one can think of one.
He is, I mean, speaking from a booker's perspective, like, he holds one of my titles, so, like, I obviously rate him. I think he's great. He's also been involved with two of the best episodes of this podcast in the history of time, and part three will be a live one during Super Strong Style weekend. unless I can find any reason to not do that, that'll happen.
Yeah.
Like, even if he's not on the shows, like, I'll pay for him to come down on my own wallet.
I'm so excited.
So yeah, I think solid suggestions. Yeah. I think again, it was great to see how many different people got votes. But Okada in the end was stretched out a little. He won by 5 or 6 votes in the end. But it was very close between him and Kenny Omega. Right. Then we come to two categories that are not close in the slightest, and that's our female wrestlers of the year. So WWE female wrestler of the year. In third place was, and there's only 7 people, 7 names voted for in this. Okay. So in third place is Charlotte Flair. In second place is Alexa Bliss. Mm-hmm. And then with 4 times more votes than everybody else combined together is Asuka.
Mm. Oh, I wasn't ready for that.
Nice. Good times. so I am going for Gold Dust.
Oh, very good. That's a nice one.
This guy's Henry Kelly. I'm not surprised. I think Asuka's amazing. I've seen Asuka wrestle probably more than I've seen any woman wrestle this year, because I've been to so many NXT shows. I've seen her wrestle tons, and she's absolutely brilliant. For me, it would have been between her and Ember Moon, who I also really rate and did also receive votes. I think Ember came 4th or 5th. but I think Asuka's so good. Now the difficult bit for WWE, I suppose, is how does she eventually lose? And who does she eventually lose to? Because she hasn't lost in forever.
I'm thinking it'll be Stephanie McMahon at WrestleMania.
No, you're not. Don't be stupid.
I bet I could get a decent odds on that, though.
I think, legit, the person she'll lose to will be Ronda Rousey. Mm-hmm. Mm. She'll lose to Ronda Rousey in 2 years' time.
I've got a pun.
Okay, who's your pun?
The D Generation X game. As in the generation game.
Nice. Or the X Games.
Yeah, D Generation.
Yeah. Yeah, no wonder your voice has gone quiet for that. It was rotten. anyone else you would have named?
Nope.
Nikki Cross got votes.
Yeah.
I think she was 4th.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks only got 1 vote. It was the last email I opened. Mm-hmm. Which, if you think the difference between this time this year and like, and again, it's not that anyone's doing badly. It's just Asuka's doing so well.
Yeah. And the depth of the pool again.
Absolutely. It's exciting, of course, because on Raw last night they mentioned that the Women's Royal Rumble, is going to have 30 women in it.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant, both for both sets of rosters. But also for lots of my friends who work for NXT. Presumably going to get called up for this. So I'm sitting there going, oh, brilliant. Even more of my mates are going to be on telly. So, which is delightful, really. Because it's delightful seeing people like Ruby Riott on TV.
Yeah.
She's sound. She's great. So I'm really pleased that everyone's going to get their chance. Who's going to win the Women's Royal Rumble? Take your guesses now. Christopher. I can't believe you're spending this much time thinking about it. Yeah, Asuka. Who's going to win it?
Asuka, maybe Ronda Rousey.
You see, the thing is, Asuka can lose this and it doesn't count as a loss, does it?
Yeah.
So, it's like losing a cup tie on penalties. It doesn't really count. So, Asuka can be eliminated from this to set up a feud. Mm-hmm. And presumably to make...
Oh, to go full Maven / Undertaker.
Yeah.
Just have, like, I don't know, Nixon Newell dropkick her out of the ring.
That'd be great.
That would be amazing.
I'm excited for that, the Women's Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble match is my favourite thing that WWE do all year. So to have two of them in one day, it's brilliant.
I'm hoping it goes well, because I'm not sure the world is ready for twice as much anger as when Randy Orton won last year.
If Randy Orton wins the Women's Royal Rumble...
Oh, that'd be fantastic. When James Ellsworth wins the Women's Royal Rumble...
Oh, God.
Then Jinder Mahal wins the other Rumble. And then Twitter just burns.
Non-WWE female wrestler of the year. Again, not particularly close. What's quite nice from this is everybody's from these shores. Come on, Chris, sort it out. In third place is Session Moth Martina. In second place is Ginny, but winning by getting about 3.5 times more votes than everyone else combined is Toni Storm, which makes a lot of sense when you think about it. Again, slightly biased, she's Progress Women's Champion, but also her stuff she's done in Stardom this year is pretty off the charts. And she was in the Mae Young Classic. A few people did say, can we vote for her because she was in the Mae Young Classic? Yes, you can, because as far as I'm aware, she's not WWE contracted, so because she wrestled for Stardom. So there was a couple of other talents that wrestled for Stardom that were mentioned. Meiko Satomura was one of them. Viper, who obviously wrestles over there and was in the Mae Young Classic and does great stuff in ICW and various places, got a fair few votes too. Anyone else... I would have chosen Toni or Ginny because I think they're both brilliant. Dahlia Black got a fair few votes too, but I would have chosen Toni or Ginny. I probably would have lent towards Toni because she's just unstoppable at the minute, wherever she is.
I can't believe I'm actually going to say this in public. Oh. I would probably actually agree that Session Moth Martina has had a really bloody good year.
She's had a great year and she's a wonderful human being.
She's so good.
My favourite picture...
She's really good.
My favourite picture that I've taken at wrestling this year is Session Moth holding onto my son backstage in Manchester. And she said... Because obviously I don't put my son's face on social media.
What are you going to say? I don't speak Irish for some reason.
Because I don't put my son's face on social media, I got her to turn around and she takes a picture. It's in the female dressing room at the Ritz. And there's a picture of her holding onto him with his back to the camera. And she went, just put that and just say it's my 22nd child.
Oh.
I was like, oh, you're great. If you've not seen the merch that Jordan Devlin put out,
it's so good.
Just before Christmas, of the featuring some of Session Moth's greatest quotes this year, featuring "Is it Bants to grind on Loki?"
Yeah.
And the what was the one about JFK? I know of JFK. He was shot by OJ Simpson, the rapper.
My favorite one. my favorite one still. What was happening before Isaac Newton invented gravity? Invented gravity.
Or just floating. And she's been a guest on this podcast. I did an interview with her. That was before I'd actually ever met her. We met her. And I think she's lovely. I'm always super pleased to see it. My wife thinks she's great as well.
She's the absolute worst.
She's a wonderful human being, and I will back you up. Session Moth, don't worry.
I would have made her my choice for female non-WWE wrestler, women's wrestler of the year. Not least of which because we were having this chat with someone else backstage at the Ritz at a Progress show, in that she is so complete in her character, and it's part of everything she does. She doesn't just do it on the way to the ring and then forget, and then do it on the way back afterwards. And it's just, again, it's joyous, it's fun, and everyone's invested, and everyone's behind her. And, it's going to be exciting to see where it goes this year.
I would agree. Citizen Killer Khan.
Okay.
Killer Khan was the guy who broke Andre the Giant's leg.
Yeah, that, right. Yeah, I know who Killer Khan.
Citizen Khan is the
sitcom.
Not Citizen Killer. That's a definitely very different.
Would that be like Mrs. Bad News Brown's Boys?
Oh, so good!
That is really, really good.
Infinitely better than the TV series. If you listen to Tuesday Night Jaw, you've already got a good taste. But if you listen to Tuesday Night Jaw and you like Mrs. Brown's Boys, can you please just tweet me at Jim Smallman and let me know why? Why you like it? I'd love to know. I've had this thing on Twitter with my dad. Like, my dad can't understand why I didn't write Mrs. Brown's Boys. Because his theory is, he thinks he's brilliant, and he's been to see it live. And his theory is, it's shit, but it's funny. How hard can it be to write something that's just obvious? And I went, well, it's not, humour's not obvious. It's like, I don't like it, but it still takes talent to write it. And it takes talent to write it in that way. I can only write comedy in the way that I like comedy, which is, it turns out, not the sort of thing that's ever going to make me a millionaire. Next is moment of the year. Now, I must explain.
I know what mine is.
No, that's next year's awards.
So, moment of the year and surprise of the year. Some people got them confused and voted for a surprise as moment of the year or something that was not really a surprise as moment of the year. So what I did was, I totaled, whenever someone voted for an incident in general, I totaled them up and I put them as whether or not I class them as a surprise or a moment. Okay? That's how I got around
it.
Did
you have a separate spreadsheet for them? Or do they have their own page?
They have their own tab. I'm not a monster. They've got a certain amount of hard drive space. Right. So, moments of the year.
Yes.
In fact, I'm going to do moment of the year. I'm going to do moment of the year last. That's going to be the last award I do. Okay? I'm going to do surprise of the year now. So, surprise of the year. Lots of different votes in this category, but three leaders at the top. Number three is the Hardy Boys returning at WrestleMania, where I was sat next to John Briley and he lost his fucking mind. Right after I just had to tell someone to sit down in front of us because he kept standing up. I turned around, John was standing on his chair.
Well, he didn't lose his mind, did he? He just burnt a few chips in the motherboard.
He did burn a few chips in the motherboard. But he honestly went absolutely batshit insane when the Hardys came out. I was dancing to their music and everything. I wish I'd filmed it because it was the greatest.
Was he doing the thing with his hands?
He was doing the thing with his hands.
I was in amongst the 205 Live and WWE.
I could see where you were from where I was. Repeat, I kept turning around and
as he looked down his nose.
Yeah, he was like,
but through his monocle at the peasant to Chris Rooker.
Well, I would have waved back, but I was too busy at the buffet.
Yeah.
No. But being amongst this, and it can be a cynical business.
Being amongst the scum.
Yeah.
I was amongst the scum.
Oh,
yeah. Jim was amongst the scum. I was in the skybox. You know, I was dining on Uncle Vin.
I had to pay for my own ticket and everything. Stick that in your conspiracy. Right.
Did you use some of that sweet WWE money to pay for it?
Let's just take a moment for tweet of the year I've received this year. And that will be from wonderful wrestling fan in Ireland who told me that I should. I think I was talking about the fact I couldn't afford to do something, which is even though I have a moderately okay comedy career and a fairly successful wrestling company that I own a percentage of, it might surprise you to learn that I am not a rich man by any stretch of the imagination. Because if I was, I wouldn't do quite as many miles as I do, right? And this lovely fat, I've muted it. I've not blocked him because I don't want to give him the satisfaction. But it's a wrestling fan from Ireland who tweeted me and said that when I was complaining about not having enough money to do something, I think with my son, tweeted me and insinuated that I should have plenty of money because WWE had made me a millionaire this year. I mean, that was wonderful.
You do dress like an eccentric millionaire.
I mean, if all eccentric millionaires wear quite a lot of top man denim, yeah, then yeah.
My tweet of the year was someone who retweeted a Playboy article talking about how wonderful boobs were, and they retweeted it with the caption, "It's 2017, we eat ass now, Grandad."
What?
It's the best tweet ever.
Fucking hell. Have you got any tweets that stick out in your mind this year? But again, not a millionaire. Must stress that. Please buy my t-shirts, jimsmallman.com/TNJ. It will help feed a child.
£10,000 each.
Yeah. That's how I become a millionaire.
Yeah.
Exactly. The tweet that someone sent, and I can't remember who it was that just saying, I remember when being a fan of something meant you liked it.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
No.
It's quite apt, isn't it, really? Mm. Yeah. So, anyway, surprise of the year. Hardy's in third.
I'm surprised that was third.
In second is the whole Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho reveal. That video, when I first saw the video, I was like, oh my God, that video is stylish as all hell. But that whole reveal, the whole Jericho being there, whole storyline is a big surprise to a lot of people. Massive surprise to me. I think I see most things kind of coming in wrestling now. Mm. I did not see that coming at all. At all. Was genuinely surprised. And the winner of Surprise of the Year, and again, my involvement in progress probably is the reason why this is won, is TK Cooper and Dahlia Black's return to progress, which was a proper old school surprise that I'm very, very proud of. Because this might be me being a little bit old school with things. Like, because you came, I think we can reveal this now. You drove Jack Gallagher to the show on Saturday.
Stop ruining the magic, right?
He didn't just appear.
That's how he does.
I drove a mysterious man in a full burqa that you told me to collect from Piccadilly Station.
You did. We had to disguise.
So
him.
Yeah. So what? But we put like a curtain up around our entranceway at where the wrestlers come through the gate, so no one in the smoking area could see. Because we actually wanted to keep surprises a surprise. I even had the tweet: look, if you accidentally bump into someone in Camden, maybe don't be at all about it and go, guess who I saw? And no one did. And that's the great thing about Progress fans. No one, if they did accidentally bump into somebody, nobody made a point of mentioning it.
What you did was you paid at least 10 wrestlers with your WWE money to be in Camden as ruses. Yeah. I mean, the most shocking one was the fact you had Shinsuke Nakamura in the World's End.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he comes to every show. It's Tristan. So
Cedric Alexander buying Bang Bang Chicken.
So we, when TK and Dahlia came back, I'll let you, I don't know if I've told the full story. So they legit had to go home to New Zealand. Their visas ran out. They legitimately had to go home. So we wanted to bring them back, but they didn't have the money to get a visa. So we kind of helped them sort the visas out. Which meant that when they came back, and I think they were back in the country for 2 or 3 days before we did the angle, they had to hide, not speak to anybody. On the day of the show, we told them to arrive roughly halfway through the second half of the show. We got them to come in a taxi. We got them to cover themselves up coming into the venue. And none of it, we didn't hint towards it. Like, the one thing I hate in wrestling is foreshadowing stuff all the time. We never do that. Like, because there's no point.
But Jim, whose side is he on? Whose side is he on?
So that's what we chose to make it a proper old school surprise. And I think that's why people have voted for it, which I'm very grateful. Very nice of you if you did vote for it. I would have voted for Jericho and Omega because I want to vote for my own company. But this won by a fair few votes because I think anyone who was at that show realised what an absolute surprise it was because, to all intents and purposes, they were never coming back.
Yeah.
But them coming back had been planned from the second they left. you know, and I'm delighted it went the way it did. I'm just really sad that it then, a few weeks later, TK was injured and, you know, he's only just coming back from injury now and he's cleared in the new year, we believe. So, but yeah, like, I think there's not many actual surprises in wrestling. That's one of them. The Death House reveal that we mentioned before got a lot of votes. Like, that's a really good surprise because no one... the things that I think most people remember of really, really enjoying in wrestling are big surprises.
Mm-hmm.
So why not do some big... And again, coming off a show where we've just done a load of surprises.
But you've got to balance it.
Well, you can't do them every show.
Exactly, because a minute... what was it? The story that... the story about Paul Heyman saying we need a surprise because it was a surprise at the arena shows in ECW. Well, then they're not surprises anymore.
No.
And it's nice when people don't see something coming.
Yeah,
it's very, very satisfying.
And that I think is why that resonated with so many people is, and the same reason that the Jericho Omega thing resonates so much with me is because I really legit did not see it coming. You know, 30-odd years of being a wrestling fan, I didn't see it coming. And I think that's brilliant. And how the whole thing's been done has been great. And I'm sure the match will be great. And I'm really excited to see it and see what it leads to. But with that angle, like, I remember not being able to sleep the night before we did that show because I was nervous about how people would react to it, and people reacted in a brilliant way, and again, TK and Dahlia, whilst both being fantastically talented, they weren't at the time when they left. They weren't at the very top of our card. They came to save Travis, who is at the top of our card, but they weren't at the top of our card. Dahlia was their valet and did some wrestling in the women's division, and TK was ostensibly a tag team wrestler with Travis the entire time he was here. And they didn't have a particularly good win-loss record. So, to get that reaction, that shows how much people love them when they left.
It's sincerity, and yeah. you can't fake a connection.
No, I don't think so. I think I'm very, very proud of that. And, I will take that award. Thanks. Thanks very much. Any more TV shows before I get to next award?
No.
Earthworm Jim Duggan.
Cactus Jack and Nori.
Oh, very nice. Good.
Yes.
Two cool. Solid ones, though. Yeah.
Come on. So, breakout star of the year. You can't predict who's winning this. You haven't watched wrestling. Breakout star of the year. Lots of votes. Lots of people only got one vote. One person legit voted for themselves, didn't realise they'd sent it to me from their wrestling book account. I'm not going to name who you are, but you know you are.
We'll find out once this goes off the air, and we will laugh at you.
Honestly, it's fun. Like, if you're proud of your achievements this year, that's brilliant. But I think you meant to email me from your other account, under presumably your real name, rather than your bookings Gmail account that you email me from. All the best to you. If I get 500 TV puns, then I will name this person. No, I won't. I'm not going to do that. But please do send your TV puns. Hashtag choosing not your at Jim Smallman. So, breakout star of the year. These are your top three. The winner of this won by a mile. number three, Travis Banks. Third place again for Trav. Number two, Braun Strowman.
Mm-hmm.
And again, breakout is very up to everyone's own interpretation. Some people were voting for people who've maybe only been wrestling for 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. Some people were voting for people who've been wrestling for ages, but this is the first year they've really noticed.
It's just gone boom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And number one, who's number one, guys?
Pete Dunne.
No idea.
Number one is Viscera. No, it's not. It's Pete Dunne. It's Pete Dunne, everybody. Pete Dunne won by a country mile.
Breakout doesn't mean causes Chris Brooker to break out in hives.
No, it's not.
Never joke about this.
Pete Dunne won because Pete Dunne has had the best year that anyone's ever had in wrestling. The end. And let's be honest, Pete's been great for a long time. Pete was great in 2016. Yeah. Pete was unbelievable in 2017. I've been saying it for a long time now. I believe that Pete is one of, if not the best wrestlers on the planet. His mind for wrestling is amazing. He's a lovely guy to deal with. He's fantastic at getting his own name out there. He will sit on a plane and go and wrestle in Malaysia or Portugal or Italy or wherever. He's not bothered.
And he also gave me my moment of the year,
which is
Callum getting kicked in the penis.
Yes. I mean, he did.
Which time?
Spoiler, he did do it again at unboxing and then kick him while he was on the floor. And then threatened to kick me and you, and yes, both of us legged it.
Because we're the smart ones.
I know. He stood up. It's when he told Callum to stand up and walk towards him, and he did. Yeah. Although I think secretly Callum. Kind of enjoyed being kicked in the nuts by people.
It's like that joke about the gorilla and the hunter, isn't it? It's that, you're not here for the wrestling, are you?
No. So Pete Dunne is the winner, to no surprise of anybody. If we could have chosen anyone who isn't out of those three people, who would we have chosen?
For someone who, again, if breakout in terms of in my universe, who just exploded and got ridiculously good, would be Jordan Devlin, because I think he's had an absolutely unbelievable year. Someone as in terms of newer guy getting better. It's Amari. Mm-hmm. Again, these are two guys that I've seen up close and personal and seen grow massively. Yep. So they would be.
If it's across the globe, I'm going to go with the Usos.
Nice.
Who found their voice last year, but really everything they've done has been golden. All their matches have been great. Rap Battle on TV. When was the last time you saw a good one? Whereas the one that they had,
Super Strong Style 16.
On TV.
When was the last time you saw in West Philadelphia, born and raised?
That'll never get over, Matthew. Let it go.
Are you telling me? I know the rap, David.
Usos.
Yeah.
Close to home, Sonny Dursun.
Who, yeah.
If I go back and I watch the matches from earlier in this year, this last year, compared to the reaction he's got now, without wrestling, when he came out and did a kind of promo on the last Future Shock show, he has blossomed this year. He has become, he's gotten in the ring with better people, which is what you should do. And he has taken something away from every single match, every single encounter, and he's hungry to get better. And you know what? He has, and he's been exceptional.
Good. I would choose
Jack Sexsmith, who's gone from being comedy character to being very, very, very good at what he does. One of the most sympathetic baby faces in the world, and beloved by everybody because he has the mysterious ingredient X, which makes people actually react and care about him. I think he's wonderful.
The money.
I think he's great. I would also potentially choose. Who should I choose? Lars Sullivan, probably.
Nice.
Because I think he's destined for big things. I've spent a bit of time with him. He's a great dude as well. So
That match you had with Roderick Strong lately was out of this world.
Absolutely. wants to be really good. He's the sort of person I imagine when he inevitably moves up to the main roster, fans will turn on and go, yeah, but he's not a wrestler. Well, why? Why is he? I can tell. I've had a conversation with him. He's loved wrestling just as long as I have, right? So just because he wasn't on the indies for ages doesn't mean he doesn't love wrestling as much as anyone who was, and I don't get that.
Biggest star on Raw, Braun Strowman.
Yeah,
who used to work as Barry Snowman on the indies.
Get out. Right, moment of the year. I've saved this one. This is the final award. Moment of the year. Let's give this some proper gravitas. So what's your own personal wrestling moment of the year? I'll do mine first. Completely by it. I've got two. One's announcing Wembley and having people react the way they did. And the other one is the beginning of our show in New York, because I will never feel cooler than I did then. And it's a completely personal one. I will never feel cooler than I did at that point. Outside of that, from a wrestling point of view, it's probably Travis Banks winning Super Strong Style, because I think people reacted in a great way.
Joking aside, it isn't Callum getting kicked in the penis. Oh, I've got like three personal ones.
Go on then.
So it's a tie between introducing British Strong Style versus the Elite, because that happened. it just blows my mind. Commentating at Alexandra Palace, just in general, and then commentating on Jack Gallagher versus Pete Dunne, because that was quite special. So I've never actually commentated on a Jack Gallagher match in progress.
So presumably you just insulted him for the entire 17
absolutely
minutes of the
absolutely ruined him.
Good.
There's nothing but the sound of a man sighing and rolling his eyes. Yeah. And you think you can't hear eye rolling? Progress on demand.
And then my actual moment. That's tough.
Don't pick an actual moment because it might be in the list. Okay. Your personal moments.
Personal moments. Let's see.
Personal moments. Can I just say, one of my best moments as a father has been teaching my son over Christmas. Whenever he walks into a room, I sing the song "She's a Lady, But He's a Baby" at him. So he'll walk in, I go, "He's a baby." He now goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." That's the fucking greatest thing I'll ever do.
I once taught my nephew to respond after I said, "Whose house?" Shout Ron's house.
my two nephews spent two full days chanting chicken in a bin.
Yes. Nice. So programming them.
Good times. Right.
Personal moments. Seeing Jack Gallagher in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was
amazing.
Sick.
And doing that in a bar in Manchester with a lot of Future fans who went nuts. I've still got the video up somewhere. Then, as a father, obviously, seeing Matthew commentate at Alexandra Palace.
Yeah.
And, of course, him watching Callum getting kicked in the dick.
I wasn't there.
No, you weren't there for that one, were you?
No, this past week.
Oh, I was there for that one.
Yes. What else? Two of the moments that I'm involved with were actually on the same show. One is Pete Dunne becoming adrenaline champion over Sarah Durson because nobody saw it coming.
No.
Because everyone thought it was going to be a typical kind of, oh, you brought someone in, they're going to schmoz it. We made it look it was going that way. And genuine shock. It was fantastic. And from the same show, April Davids and Lana Austin getting a standing ovation for the first women's main event in Future Shock, which meant the world. It felt like I was in a documentary. It, you know, everyone was on their feet clapping. You know, they came back afterwards. They were crying. I was crying. Matthew doesn't cry. And it was...
That's a lie. He's cried more than once on this podcast.
No, he haven't. Only the once.
No, you cried once the original time, and then you cried the second time, and we reminded you of the first time.
Oh, what? He's going now. We're reminding him of the first time now.
Come on.
Look at the lip. Right, blur out. It's healthy.
It's all right. We love you. Come on.
No.
Yeah.
Stop it.
But that was it. It's nice to kind of help other people have their moments.
Yeah.
That's the most amazing part of this.
So, moment of the year, and again, like this category got more votes than any other category.
Mm.
Okay, so
it's almost like pro wrestling is about moments.
Yeah, the top three are all separated by two votes.
Oh.
So it's very close to being tied.
Can we get some runners up first?
I can't remember after, because honestly, there was like over 50 different votes for things that I considered a moment rather than a surprise. Okay, so. In third place is the whole of the WWE UK tournament in Blackpool / Tyler Bate winning the UK title.
Because it did happen.
It was nearly a year ago now, and it was bloody great.
It was unreal.
I was there the Friday when they were setting it up, and I was there on the Saturday, and was so much fun. So much fun. Obviously, I got to be on the telly as well, which was a fun experience where Evil WWE, who like to crush independent wrestling, put several independent wrestling promoters on television and talked about all of our companies during commentary. But again, I don't like us. So that was number three. Number two is The Undertaker's retirement, which also happened this year, which for a long time was winning this.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the first few emails I answered, this was winning. And again, I was there for that. And up until probably the last decade, I wasn't a huge Undertaker fan. I've even said in interviews and stuff before, the reason I stepped away from wrestling when I was in my early teens was I thought characters like The Undertaker were too far-fetched. But then I was also there when he symbolically put his hat in the ring and went and disappeared into a walkway.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I found the whole thing tremendous. Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing. It's also, let's be honest, huge that didn't win Moment of the Year.
Yeah, that is crazy, actually, yeah.
Do you think you know what won Moment of the Year? Don't say it. Do you think you know what won Moment of the Year?
I don't think. I think if it was Progress Moment of the Year...
It's not a Progress winner.
Okay.
I must stress this.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Not Progress. Cool, cool. The closest thing from Progress got to winning... Or even getting the top, came nowhere near winning, but came close to getting the top three was Trav winning Super Strong
Style. Okay.
That was the closest. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. You know. The winner for Moment of the Year, and again, relatively speaking, to win this, you needed less votes than all the other categories because the spread was so big.
Mm.
But the winner is Katsuyori Shibata returning to the ring at the G1 finals and just sitting there and making his statement.
Bloody hell.
That one Moment of the Year.
Really?
Which, first of all, means that you guys as listeners are the fucking greatest. Because it would have been my Moment of the Year. If I'd have been voting, easily my Moment of the Year. My Moment of the Decade, because he's one of my favourite wrestlers. And to have him do that, I think it's been said now he's definitely never wrestling again.
Yeah.
But for him to come, and he even smiles during it as well.
Oh, which it's is, so unsettling.
Which is
so unsettling.
Brilliant. But I would imagine it probably would have been your moment as well.
No.
Would it not?
It'd be up there, but
It also gave us the greatest gif in the world ever, which I think it might have been one of the Dans that made it, which is the gif of him shouting down the microphone when in real life he says, I'm back, and they change it to dogs should vote. And it was just made me laugh quite a lot. Don't know why I remember that, but anyway. I think it happened this year. I've genuinely got no concept of time. But CCK in Manchester?
Would that, when they debuted, yeah, for us, would that be a surprise or would that be a moment?
The only reason
I would have classed that as a surprise.
See, the only reason why I wouldn't think it was a surprise was everyone was chanting CCK, CCK, and then...
But it only got a pop because it was a surprise.
That's a good point. All right, yeah, cool.
I mean, people did vote for CCK winning the tag titles as a moment of the year, which was quite nice. But it was mainly... People, like, there's so many different moments that people could have chosen to vote for, but I think it restores my faith in humanity that I 100% expected Undertaker retiring to win it, but Shibata returning, I think, is just to make his little statement is wonderful. So it makes me very, very happy. Yeah. I'm gonna make a GIF of all the winners, so everyone can enjoy the GIF. Mm. But I am. I think everyone, the way everyone voted, and what was really nice as well is a few people voted and told me why they were voting, which meant I could read that while I was going through and go, oh, that's good justification, which I enjoy. But everyone, no one was a dick. Like, no one voted for anything. No one emailed saying, why haven't you got a worst category? Because, again, that's not what this podcast is about. And I think what I should have done a what's the best episode of Tuesday Night Jaw in 2017. I should have done that.
Open it up on Twitter.
Yeah, tweet me your favourite 2017 episode of Tuesday Night Jaw. Mine's between David, the interview with David Starr.
All right.
I'm not going to pick a round table, I'm in him.
All right.
Is the interview with David Starr or the interview with Pastor William Eva? And it probably Pastor William Eva because of the story that he told. I think they were both this year. So,
episodes year. That don't include me.
Yeah, it's for the best.
Zach Gibson.
Oh, Zach Gibson. Zach Gibson 2.
Yeah.
Make room for battle table is pretty good. Have you any suggestions?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Zach as well. Yeah. Just because...
The world got to meet the real Zach Gibson.
Not just the real him. A few other people too.
Good. Well, anyway, Happy New Year, everybody. Let's quickly plug some things. Matthew, where are you on Twitter? What do you need to plug? Off you go, son.
At M. Richards Host. I am at wrestling shows, including Fight Club Pro and Progress and Future Shock. Yay! Good promotions. I am also being a knobhead this year and running 12 races in 12 months. I am doing it for a good reason, though, and I'll stop doing this now, because I'm hopefully trying to raise some awareness for a wonderful charity called Mind, who deal with mental health. So if you fancy watching me suffer and then decide that you've got some spare cash, throw them some money.
Good lad. Mm-hmm. How long are these races?
They are going to vary between 5K, 10K, and the end goal is to do at least a half marathon.
Oh, good Lord. And you're now vegetarian as well, aren't you, mate?
No.
Come on, admit it.
No, because unlike you, I don't feel the need to publicly acknowledge my dietary needs.
I publicly acknowledge the fact that I wanted to be a vegan, and it meant that loads of people have helped me and given me really, really helpful tips, which pleases me greatly, including the lovely Tanya, who is now in Japan with her husband, Necro Butcher. He's not Necro Butcher, he's the man who looks exactly like Necro Butcher who comes to the Progress shows. They're in Japan to watch Wrestle Kingdom. They bought me a lovely vegan cookbook. But Tanya used to, I believe, used to work for the Vegan Society of the UK, and she gave me loads of really, really good tips on how to be a vegan and still be able to eat food that I like. So it was only because I spoke about it on Twitter that I got those tips. So what I would say there is, suck it. But you can't suck it because it is not plant-based. So,
But as long as it's given willingly, then it's not cruelty-based.
No.
Actually, you know, it probably is cruelty-based. I can't imagine Matt being that good.
But anyway, Matt is a vegetarian now. Send him some really good recipes because he's not going to admit it publicly, but he is a vegetarian now. To impress a girl.
It's not
to impress a girl. I did that just to pop the other two, and I've massively succeeded.
I am announcing my retirement from Tuesday Night Show.
I mean, it did impress her, but that was coincidence.
I've never been more proud of a gag. It's not. He's just become a vegetarian because he was finding he was getting quite bloated. So, you know, now it's no bread. I mean, I can still eat bread. So, you know, who's the real winner?
Jesus Christ, move on! This is the longest outro in the world ever.
No one listens at this point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Oh, great. And you're going to tell me to plug
something? So, Chris, plug yourself. Chris.
Well, I wish my show sold out easily in advance. Then this wouldn't matter, would it? But no. Fucking backed into a corner, railroaded. I haven't had an exclusive announcement, but you can fuck yourselves. No.
No.
No. Come on, what's your Twitter?
My Twitter's at the Brooker Man, but I'm the least interesting part of everything I'm involved in. At Future Shot Rest, 2017 was great. 2018 is going to be even better. We've got a couple of big things in the pipeline, which are going to be revealed over the coming weeks and months. One thing, to reward anyone who's listened this long, if you go to www.futureshockinfinite.com and you sign up with the code 2018, you will get a month's free Future Shock on demand. And I can reveal exclusively that at our next event on January the 14th, which admittedly is the same day as Progress in Birmingham, but they've sold out. So we are the overflow promotion of Progress.
Also, you're in the evening, right?
Yeah.
We're in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the double's possible, but it might well be possible.
I fucking hope so for our main event. But the Adrenaline Championship, which has been involved in many barn burners over the course of 2017 with Pete Dunne, Jay Lethal, Will Ospreay most recently, Xander Cooper will be defending against the regulator Wolfgang in what's going to be an absolute blinder. That's in addition to our main event, which will be Zach Gibson versus James Drake in their first singles match in Future Shock. Gibson has been dodging his former friend for a long time, and we thought he'd left. And then he jumped JD at the end of the aforementioned classic All Bins Illegal match, ending a joyous match on a very sour note. So see what happens when they finally clash. FutureShockWrestling.com for your tickets. We still have some season tickets available as well, so save yourself some money, buy in advance, and that's about that.
Good, good plugs.
Mm-hmm. Good plugs. I have some stuff. What?
Crystal Amazing Red.
Oh, that's nice.
Ooh, saving a good one, don't I?
That is nice. I'm trying desperately to get something out of Top Gear, and I can't think of anything. I don't know why. It's just that when I try and put these puns together, I get a TV show in my head.
But then
I try desperately.
It's not Top Gear anymore. It's a Grand Metalik Tour.
Nice. Oh, nice. There you go. Or Grand Noniwa tour.
Because of course.
Grand Hamada tour.
Oh.
Good.
Granola tour.
Emma Dale Torborg Farm.
Okay. Hooving to Top Gear.
Oh!
Oh, my brain. Oh.
Oh, God.
So 6 months in rehab for Matthew.
Oh, God. So, yeah, jimsmallman.com/TNJ. Point new listeners at this monstrosity of a podcast via that link. Demand-progress.com for all the progress shows. Progresswrestling.com for merch and tickets, including New Orleans, and where we did two chapter shows, and Super Strong Style 16 at Alexandra Palace. And Wembley fecking arena. Nearly said stadium. It's not Wembley Stadium. Don't get excited. That one girl who'd commented on our YouTube video when we did the announcement. Someone commented going, well, it's not Wembley Stadium. Why are they singing Que Sera? We're going to Wembley when it's not Wembley Stadium. Well, it's next door to it and it is still in Wembley.
If it was the takeaway in Wembley.
I'd sing it. If I was going to a curry house in Wembley, I would sing Que Sera, I'm going to Wembley.
If you know a decent vegan curry house in or around Wembley, # choose my choice.
There's always a vegan option in a curry place. I mean, you'd be happy, mate.
I mean,
you can't have a naan bread, obviously, which is part of the fun. But, you know, rice isn't got gluten in it, is it?
Nope. That's you're going to give us a final thought?
If you are the woman that Matthew's trying to impress, You know, maybe look beyond his dietary requirements. He's sad he can't eat bread, but come on, he's eating a lot of vegetables now. And I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it means he can use the emoji now because he's eating a lot of vegetables. That requires some emoji knowledge for the gag. Happy New Year, everybody. See you next week. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.